drugs and money. Dad, get me out of this.
Yeah. All right. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. That, of course, is the one, the only, the great Warren Zevon. And joining me live in studio are Chris Anderson and Charlie Short of the band Androgynous Mustache. And you are, these guys will be performing the 7th annual Warren Zevon Birthday Bash at Space in Evanston Thursday night at 7:30. Hey, guys.
Hey.
How you
Hello.
Been?
Very well. Good to be here.
Yeah, so this is the 7 years you've been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was at the first two.
Right.
And those were both at Quenchers.
Right.
And, yeah, you guys do a great job.
It's a blast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a ton of work, but it's the right fight to fight. And every year we add more songs. We'll, you know, sub in, sub out.
Yeah.
And this is probably, I think, definitely our most ambitious show.
Yeah,
this year, without a doubt, this is definitely our most ambitious show.
Now, how did it start? I mean, obviously, for a love of Warren Zevon.
It started out when there's a great series, I think it's still going on, at Reggie's Rock Club. The last Thursday of every month, they have Classic Album Night.
And right, they still do it.
They still do it.
So yeah.
Charlie and I have done a gazillion of them. Everything from the Violent Femmes to Bob Dylan to Tom Petty to the Modern Lovers.
Yeah.
And like 9 years ago, I guess, it's 8 years ago, something like that, I said, hey, man, let's do Excitable Boy by Warren Zevon. And everybody was kind of like, and we kind of picked different guys to form this crew.
Yeah.
And some guys knew some songs, some guys didn't really even know who he was. And we performed the record. And afterwards, it was like, this stuff is just too good. It cannot be forgotten. We have to just figure it out. And then I think it was later that year. December of 2010.
I remember.
We did it at Quenchers.
Yeah,
and that's where it started.
Yeah, and it was great. And the thing is, and we can get into this. We can talk about more about Warren Zevon in a couple minutes. We got a break here for the news, but you know, the thing about Warren Zevon is that he is simultaneously at the same time incredibly revered, but incredibly underappreciated, if you know what I mean. I mean, because it's like, I mean, how, you know, would you guys agree with that? Like, it's,
it,
he is this weird balance. It's like everybody know, you know, everybody who knows him thinks he's one of the greatest songwriters that's ever lived. And then there's a ton of people just have no idea who he is.
Yeah.
And I personally, for one, every year when he's not, you know, a nominee for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's just a crime that he's, you know what I mean? It's an absolute crime that he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Totally.
You know, he's one of the best songwriters of all time.
It was funny when we the first 2 years we did it, in the crowd was a real eclectic crew, but there was these young guys like right out of DePaul, 22 years old, and they knew every lyric to every song. I could see, I was watching behind the drum kit. Yeah. These guys know every lyric to every song, and I went like, how do you guys know that? You're not supposed to know this stuff. You're supposed to like other stuff.
Yeah,
and it kind of shows just the broad range of his appeal.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and Chris and Charlie are here. We'll talk more about Warren Zevon, of course. And the gig is on Thursday night at Space in Evanston, which is a really, really great room. And we'll talk more about that. We got the news coming up in about 30 seconds.
Well, he's just an excitable boy.
Yeah, it's funny. Nick DiGilio here. We were just talking off the air about how many people are in the band, and you were like, well, we've got some background vocals, and all of a sudden we play this. There they are. There they are.
You're going to do it. Might as well do it right.
And you got a sax player, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian Gephardt.
Oh, yeah. All right. I mean, I know half the guys. I mean, I know these guys. I've known you guys for a long time. That's Warren Zevon, by the way. Excitable Boy. And my guests live in studio, Chris Anderson and Charlie Short from the band Androgynous Mustache. They will be performing the 7th annual Warren Zevon Birthday Bash at a beautiful place called Space in Evanston. It's this Thursday, January 19th. It's an all-ages show, and it starts at 7:30. We've got a link on our Facebook page for tickets and info and all that stuff. It's facebook.com/NickDShow. Welcome back, guys.
Good to be here.
All right. So let's talk a little Warren Zevon. Charlie, let's start with you. What was your first exposure to Warren Zevon? Can you remember what it was?
Well, I'm sure that I heard Werewolves of London on the radio,
yeah.
And Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me. But my first exposure was playing with Chris, was playing Excitable Boy. And, it's great music. And I think he's one of those guys where I think I was familiar, like, through Linda Ronstadt. I was, you know, familiar with all of the songs like Hasten Down the Wind and Carmelita, where you're like, oh, yeah, I know this. And we were just talking about this, I guess. Bob Dylan thinks that Desperados Under the Eaves is the greatest song of all time.
It's up there.
Yeah, according to one interview from Bob Dylan. But I think that there's just, he's one of the, you were talking about that. You know, it's like he's one of those writers that sort of permeates everything thereafter.
So. Yeah, and one of the things that I love about Warren Zevon, one of the many, you know, endless list of things that I love about Warren Zevon is his sense of humor.
Yeah.
I mean, so much of his stuff is hilarious. I mean, it's heartfelt, but a lot of it is so funny. Like, he had an unbelievably twisted and great sense of humor. Like, Rolling the Headless Thompson Gunner is one of the, that song is unbelievably hilarious, and ending with the Patty Hearst line is like. Genius. I mean, that's just, totally. He's such a great writer. What about you, Chris? What was your first exposure?
I think my older brother, this is as a kid, had it on vinyl. And I remember looking at the cover of Excitable Boy, like, who is that weird looking dude with that weird hair? And what is up with those sunglasses, man?
Yeah.
And then listening to it and almost being, yeah, as a kid, like, this is scary stuff. And then you just, as you grow older and be, you know, come more nuanced with your appreciation of music, and then you just, it just puts its hooks in you and you're like, wow, this is just good stuff. And then when we performed it, I was like, we got to keep this going.
Yeah.
You know?
Excitable Boy was the first exposure I had. Mm-hmm. When it was released, 78.
77 or 78.
I was probably 13. And because I grew up, you know, loving Universal horror movies and stuff. And I heard Werewolves of London on the radio. I was like, oh, this is werewolves. This is cool. And I was a kid and I thought it was. And so my dad picked, we picked up Excitable Boy and I just devoured it. It was, and then I went back to his earlier stuff and then just kept up with him from that point on all the way through to the end of his career. And I'm a really big fan of the self-titled album, which has one of my favorite, Back's Turned is one of my favorite songs that is, Looking Down the Path is one of my favorite songs ever. And that album was the one I picked up after Excitable Boy and became, you know, reasonably obsessed with that record too. So Charlie, what's your background? Tell everybody about how you got into music and all that.
Well, I played since I was 7 or 8 years old. I played cello and bass and, you know, when I was 19 or 20, I was working in a guitar shop and guys started coming in looking for bass players, and I've been playing in clubs ever since.
Are you from here?
I'm from here, yeah, from Evanston.
Okay.
So,
What music store did you work at?
I worked at the Guitar Works in Evanston.
Oh, sure.
I've kind of worked at a bunch of places. I worked at the Chicago Music Exchange when it was on Clark. I've worked at Rock and Roll Vintage, which is now up on Damon. So I've been here and there for a long time.
Yeah.
When I was, you know, 15 or 16, I swept the floors and threw the boxes out so that they would, you know, let me work in the guitar store. So,
did you take lessons?
I did. My dad was a guitar teacher, and he actually taught at the Guitar Works in 1979, and then he was a teacher. So, you know, and I took some lessons. I was, I did classical and jazz in school. I learned from a guy who's like, he played with George Duke and he was just a great, Mike Manson, he was a great bass player. And then in high school and college, I was, did jazz and classical. And I really wanted to be John Entwistle.
If you're a bass player, who doesn't want to be John Entwistle?
Yeah. most everyone did not like that,
you're talking about the classical guys, the teachers and stuff?
Yeah, pretty much.
Did they think it was just wanking?
Pretty much. No, they just thought it was a little too loud.
Just, oh, I see. Okay. Because he does a lot of,
So. My classical orchestra teacher, he was actually pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
And I learned a lot about being professional and showing up to a gig and not make, I didn't learn a lot from jazz because everybody, but you learn a lot when you play music. But that's my, you know, I did that. The serious thing. I kind of went to college a little bit, but then I've just been playing in bands.
Can you tell me approximately how many bands you've been in?
I mean, I've been a member of like five or six for a long time.
Right.
I
was with like steady bands.
Yeah, five or six.
Yeah.
I was with the Websters for a long time.
Yep.
And then before that, actually, when I started listening to you, I was in a band. We were called a bunch of things, but they were called the Video Stars. That was how we made our money. We were an 80s cover band with Preston.
Yep.
And we'd drive home from DeKalb and you know, oh, there's Nick.
Yeah.
Yep. And Steve and Johnny when it was a rare weekday late gig.
Yeah.
And I did that. I made my living doing that for quite a while.
That's
so
good. All right. And how did you get into music, Chris?
I started taking piano as a kid, and I just when it got time in my learning to take on theory, music theory, I just I didn't have the patience or the persistence, and it was a major tapper, you know, and I quit, and I still really regret giving up the piano, and then I wanted to play the drums. My parents were like, "Oh, you just quit the piano. We're not getting you a drum set, man."
Right.
And
you can't commit.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I said this before. I made a drum set in like the fifth or sixth grade out of my textbooks.
Right.
And would play them all the time because I wasn't reading them anyways. And it wasn't until my parents saw The Velvet Fog and they came home and said, "Okay, we will let you learn the drums."
Mm-hmm.
And then that, you know, it was kind of, that was it. Moved to Chicago in 94, played in a rock band called Millhouse in the 90s, which was fun. And
named after the character.
Named after Richard Millhouse.
Nixon. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Why not go for the gusto?
I thought it was named after the Simpsons character.
So did a lot of people. We went through like all the, it was funny, a few of us got together, we went through all the venues that we played back in the 90s.
What were some of the?
I mean, the big ones, you know, like Lounge Acts,
right.
You know, obviously, but then like there was a joint on Halsted just north of Diversey on the East Side Street called Sidelines.
Oh, yeah. I remember Sidelines.
And I remember we played there the night of the, it was the Holyfield Tyson fight.
The Ear?
The one before. Or was that the remake? I think it was
the ear fight took place in 97.
That was probably it.
The ear biting incident. That was in 97.
And we got in there and we played original music and we looked at the crowd and it was our first time booking. We need to figure out some covers real fast.
Yeah.
And this is also in a time when, you know, Tyson was beating everybody up in 2 seconds.
Right.
And we learned a whole bunch of like Rolling Stones covers, like just backstage. Like,
yeah.
And we did.
Because we're going to do an extra set.
Yeah, we did 2 Zevon songs that night.
So oh, you did?
Yeah, we did. Well, we did his cover of Certain Girl and Heartache Spoken Here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so cool. Let's talk about some of your favorite. What are some of your favorite Zevon songs to listen to? And then is there a difference between songs that you like to listen to by Zevon and songs that you like to play? Do you know what I mean? Like
both Desperados Under the Eaves. We rehearsed that the other night, and even just playing it, you're like, God, this is such
a
good song.
It's an amazing song.
Muhammad's Radio. But then even listening to, Thule's Blues and Neil's doing the I Need a Truck.
Yeah.
And like I need a truck is hilarious.
It is, yeah.
It's just so random and weird, but and it sounds great. It's just like this guy drunk in the back of his car. I need a truck.
Right. Yeah. It's just like some of my favorite. I mean, I have a ton of favorites. I remember when I remember when Sentimental Hygiene came out. What a massive comeback that was for him because he had been kind of not selling and he was going through some major crap personally. Like he had some issues with drinking and drugs, and yeah. I had his ex-wife on the show when she wrote the book about him, and we talked. He was a troubled dude, he was. And but Sentimental Hygiene, like Detox Mansion and all that stuff, that was at a time when he was clean for a while, and that album to me is way up there on the list of like his best works. And the songs, some of the songs that are on Sentimental Hygiene are unbelievable, and that I just remember that being a really big comeback for him.
Yeah, we're doing Sentimental Hygiene for the first time this time around.
The song?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys had never done that one before?
Never.
Wow.
And we're up to we'll do 30 songs on Thursday. So.
Are you doing Nighttime at the Switchin' Yard?
Why wouldn't we, man? That is your song.
You're going to dedicate it to me, as you do every year.
Yeah. Every year.
We had a guy thank us last year. He's like, oh, I was waiting for a time to get a drink. You gave me the perfect time to get up. I went to the bathroom. You were still playing. It was fantastic. I didn't miss anything.
You guys do like a 20-minute version of Nighttime at the Switchin' Yard. Let me just really quickly explain this for people who don't. No, there's a Excitable Boy is my favorite, and I think most people's favorite Warren Zevon albums, and I think it's a perfect album except for one damn song, and it's Nighttime at the Switchin' Yard, which is I vividly remember listening to that record of 13 years old, get to that song, and I think it's the last song on the first side, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember, but anyway, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Nighttime at the Switch? What is this? And I hated it. I hated it. And then the first night you guys did the birthday bash at Quenchers, you started playing it. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You're kidding me. You're playing. And you did like a 15-minute version of Nighttime at the Switching Yard. And I don't think we had talked about my hatred for that song until after the gig. And then the next year, you dedicated it to me. And even when I'm not there, you dedicate Nighttime at the Switching Yard to me. Hey, Dan, that's the one we should play when we come back from the break. Just to let everybody hear a little portion of Nighttime at the Switching Yard, which we talked about. It was like you were telling me that your theory, or you've read, that disco was massive at that time. And it was like everybody was doing a disco song. Kiss was doing a disco song. Mm-hmm. You know, the Stones did a disco song. Right. So that was that the impetus?
Supposedly
I think
there was like the producer said you got to weave this in somehow, man. And reluctantly he did it. But yeah. I remember when we first played it at Quenchers, Charlie and I were just talking about this, that we're playing it and you were just like just blown away, like, oh, and you went to the bar, and then 10 minutes later, we're still playing it. And you come back like, what is going on?
I know. I went to the bar and I had a couple of shots. And if I remember correctly, I texted Oaken.
Yeah.
Because Scott Oaken is, we know, you know, we're all friends with Scott, a musician, Factory Theater, artistic director, and we both hate that song. And it's a joke between the two of us. It's like, what the hell is Nighttime at the Switching Yard? How is that even possible that it exists? And maybe I called him. It was like in the early days of my cell phone. Sure. I had just gotten a cell phone. And no, this was 2010, so I had a cell phone. So I believe I texted him. And you know what? Maybe I called him and I held the phone out. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I did. I called him. I'm like, hey, dude, I'm at the Warren Zevon thing. Listen to this. And he's like, they're playing Nighttime at the Switching Yard? Like, yeah, they've been playing it for 26 minutes.
I think the first time we didn't know how to end it. It's just because there's a lot of it was just solo after solo
it's
after
just
solo.
Ridiculous.
Like, really, like, we got to figure out an ending to this, man.
Man, oh, man. Well, all right. Hang on. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I think for people that are going to come to see the show, we do have a lot of fun on stage, and people always say that.
Yeah.
And I think I would definitely put that in the category of songs that are fun to play, maybe not so fun to go back to.
Well, no, here's the thing about when you guys do it,
it's
a great showcase for the musicians.
Because
like you said, everybody gets to showcase and do a solo and take one or two. And that's the fun part of it.
Yeah.
Song's a piece of crap, but that's a fun part of it. All right. Hang on a second. Chris Anderson and Charlie Short from Androgynous Mustache are here. These guys are great, and they do an unbelievable job at the Warren Zevon Birthday Bash. It's the 7th annual one. It's at Space this Thursday. If you're a Warren Zevon fan, you have to go. It starts at 7:30 Thursday night. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more. Virginia, put it out on my main line. Listen to the rhythm of the train. Go by. Put it out on my main line. I noticed that I was looking up at the monitor, and Esmeralda seems to be bopping her head back and forth on Nighttime at the Switching
Yard. Yeah, what's wrong with that song? Sounds pretty good. 20 minutes of that? Come on.
I will say this. You get to use the wah-wah in that song. So Esmeralda, fan of Nighttime at the Switching Yard, are you? All right.
Apparently.
All right, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, the much maligned Nighttime at the Switching Yard, which will be played Thursday night as part of the Warren Zevon birthday bash at Space in Evanston. What a great room, huh?
It sure is.
Yeah, man. I've seen a few shows. I saw Mike Doty there, Amy Mann. It's just Suzanne Vega. It's a great room.
Nicest green room ever.
Yeah,
They have everything in there.
It's a beautiful. I was backstage for a couple of those shows, and it's a great place, and it's run by really cool people too. Yep. So that's a great room. So you want to check it out. It is the 7th annual Warren Zevon Birthday Bash at Space. It's this Thursday night. Starts at 7:30. Androgynous Mustache will be performing. Chris Anderson and Charlie Short from that band are here. Now you guys do the thing every October, where you play as another band.
Halloween weekend,
right? And it's like two nights of bands from around town. Mm-hmm. Playing as another, like doing a tribute to a certain artist.
Correct.
And this past October, you guys did Billy Squire.
Yes.
Yeah. How was that?
A lot of people didn't want us to do it, but I was set on it. To tell you the truth, there was a toss-up between Billy Squire or Eddie Money.
That's about right. That seems like an even trade, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was hilarious, and I mean, that's what Halloween is for, yeah. You know, to do stuff like that. And it was, I wouldn't say it's something like it's definitely not as deep lyrics as Warren Zevon stuff, but it's just fun, hokey, you know, tunes from the 80s that were fun and funny and and that's that.
Well, you know, and we were talking a little bit off the air about Billy Squire and the video for Rock Me Tonight, which basically like ended his career.
Yep.
One of the worst, most ridiculous videos in the history. Esmeralda, if we ever play pop-up video and we get Rock Me Tonight, it's going to be a rough go. Do you know that song, Esmeralda? Have you ever seen it?
I might know it, I didn't know the name.
You should watch the video. Just do a little Google search. Billy Squire, Rock Me Tonight. Enjoy it. You know, you've seen it, right?
No,
just
I know this. Yeah,
dancing
this
around like an idiot.
Yeah, me and a friend of mine used to make fun of this
right.
In high school.
There you go.
Because we were amazed by it.
It is stunning. It is really stunning. So that was fun. I'm looking at the list from what you guys did. The Websters did Three Dog Night?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
That's perfect.
Yeah, of course. Those are the perfect guys for Three Dog Night. Yeah. And I'm looking at some of the other ones. Let's see. You guys, the night you guys went, it was very heavily 80s, except for the Mamas and the Papas and the Eagles. But it was like motels, the Furs, all that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys going to do, I mean, that's a yearly thing,
it's
right?
It's a yearly. God, I've done it since 2000. I mean, there are a lot of venues in the city that do basically do that.
Yeah.
We'll keep it going. I mean, we've gone from venue to venue doing it, and it's a ton of work, but it's a lot of fun, too. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, too. And everybody who participates takes it extremely serious. I mean, it's not, you're not just playing the songs. You're acting. You're
right.
Performing as that band.
Right. So, what are you in a band outside of Androgynous? Because I know Androgynous is just it's kind of a
not
project.
Not so much anymore. I just don't have the time or energy.
Right. And by the way, Chris no longer is with the Green Mill.
That is correct.
And because Chris, if you were a regular listener to the show for many years, Chris used to call in from the Mill. 2:30 in the morning or something when the place was
3 o'clock on the dot.
Right, 3 o'clock when the place was dead, and you would do like Malort Olympics, mm-hmm. and we would talk to you know like the bouncers and the drunks that were in there and everything. But you're no longer at the Green Mill.
I threw up my 1,000th drunk, and then the fireworks went off, and Pat Sajak came out and Vanna White, and they gave me this wreath and. All right, you're gone, man.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Met your quota.
I will say this, you know, having gotten sober, I really do miss the Mill. I can't go in there. I'm a weak person, and it would be too tempting for me to have booze. But that's such a great room. I mean, it really is, and a great room to play. You've played there many times.
Yeah, it's the best. Yeah. It's the Wrigley Field of jazz clubs.
Yeah, so. No question about it. All right, so you guys are playing. And so what are you looking forward to? You said you're adding songs that you've never played before. What are some of those that you were working on?
Well, yeah, certainly Sentimental Hygiene was a pretty cool addition, and then we're doing Hasten Down the Wind.
Oh, great!
And Rachel Drew, who's one of our guest singers, she's singing that. So we're doing sort of the Linda Ronstadt version, and in rehearsal it was just incredible.
Awesome. Hang on 1 second. Esmeralda Leon is in traffic. You got an update, Esmeralda?
Yes, on the outbound Eisenhower near Western. I spoke about this earlier. We have an accident there blocking all lanes right now, so we're seeing some delays. They started about Damon. We're also seeing it on the inbound side. This is just Gabriel. Delays and because of the slippery conditions, we're seeing delays on both sides. But all lanes down outbound Ike near Western.
Ugh, ugly. We'll keep an eye on that, Esmeralda. Okay,
will do.
Thank you. All right. Well, listen, guys. Thank you so much for coming down It's just a blast. It's good to see you guys, man. Yeah. You got to come in. You know, we got to bring you guys in with your instruments and have you play.
That's it. Next
just,
time,
just next time, come on mm-hmm. down. All right, you okay. bring a full kit in, man. We can put it right over. I've had. I'm not kidding. I've had like 15. We'll do it. I've had groups of musicians, 15 people in here, full kit, keys, everything. So just come on down one night and we'll jam. I won't jam. I'll just sit and listen. Okay. But you guys can jam. It's great to see you guys, man.
Good to see you.
And I miss hanging out with you guys, you know. Anyway, Chris Anderson and Charlie Short from Androgynous Mustache. It's great. If you're a Warren Zevon fan, you can't afford to miss this. These guys do an amazing job. It's the 7th annual Warren Zevon Birthday Bash. It's at Space in Evanston. It's this Thursday the 19th at 7:30. And we have a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Thanks again, guys.